This is Wahid Jensen, and you are listening to Away Beyond the Rainbow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, and welcome to a brand new episode of Away Beyond the Rainbow, this podcast series dedicated to Muslims experiencing same-sex attractions who want to live a life true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam. I'm your host, Wahid Jensen. Thank you so much for joining me in today's episode. Joining me in today's episode is Brother Ali. You may remember Brother Ali from episode number 28, when he joined me and talked to us about his organization in the UK called Strong Support. He's joining me today to talk about the Mankind Project, particularly New Warrior Training, as well as the Noble Man. Those are different initiatives that can help us in different ways. So we'll be exploring these together in today's episode, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, Ali.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you so much for joining me again in this episode. It's really a pleasure to have you with me.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Wahid.
Thank you. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the Mankind Project, New Warrior Training, which falls under that, and we're going to be talking about the Noble Man, inshallah. So let's start first with the Mankind Project. You know, as someone who has attended the Mankind Project, we're going to be talking about your own personal experience with that. But first, you know, in general, what is the Mankind Project, for anyone who doesn't know, in terms of what is its mission, vision, what are the services offered by that organization?
So Mankind Project is it's a not-for-profit, so it's a charitable organization. It was basically founded in the USA, and it at present has, I think, about 21 nations have their own Mankind Project presence in them. It's been running for a long time. Since the 1970s, 80s, three major people, Rich Tosi, Bill Kaufman, and Ron Herring, they got together. And at the time, there was a lot of feminism. So they were finding, you know, feminism rising. And they said there needed to be an equivalent, for masculine, for men, basically. So the mission is to create a safer world by growing better men. And they'd say that we do this by training men and supporting them in circles. And the vision is to have a safe world where all men are brothers in relationship with one another. And, they've got values which go in their vision, like accountability, authenticity, compassion, generosity, integrity, leadership, and they also focus on multicultural awareness and respect. And that's quite nice, because the biggest thing about MKP is it's inclusive. So men of any background, any orientation, any age, any ability, anyone can, you know, and you really feel that from the organization. They say it's open for absolutely any man. And in terms of the services which are offered, to give its history, it started off with the what we now know as the New Warrior Training Adventure, which is like a industry retreat for men. It started off in January 1985 in Wisconsin. So again, these three founders came and they started this. And basically it got very popular, and you know, it's grown to the level where it is at the moment. what they offer is the training, but they do realize, you know, a weekend's not going to change your life.
Right.
So then they have what they call I groups or integration groups, mm-hmm. which are peer facilitated. They're led by an experienced member, and they're offered weekly. They also have something which is called PIT, which is primary integration training. This is a facilitated training which takes 8 to 10 weeks. At the moment, they're doing it by Zoom because, you know, obviously of coronavirus and so on. But normally, it could also have been done in a two-day facilitated, and they call that PIT intensive.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got the New Warrior training, the support groups, which are the I groups, the PIT training. And then they've got training for people to then become leaders, because it's a completely volunteer-led organization. So like I said, it's not-for-profit, it's charitable. So everybody who's doing it is basically doing it from their, you know, goodwill, their volunteer time. And they have different training levels for different staff, which you can access.
Okay, so let's start by talking about the New Warrior training in detail. I've been kind of browsing the website and skimming through it, and I saw that there are 6 stages involved, and it's like a weekend training for men. And as you said, it's global. There are so many different nations that are involved, and people can attend after registration, all of that. Can you tell us more about New Warrior training? What do people do in those trainings?
Right. Okay. So obviously, there's confidentiality, as in I can't discuss everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a part where they say that don't ruin it, basically, for people who haven't been. But
right.
As you say, there'll be the 6 stages, which they call the 6 stages of initiation.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's based off the idea that, you know, masculinity is something which, when a boy turns into a man, there's a certain expectation or to step into manhood,
mm-hmm.
and there's a certain challenge. And a lot of the times, this initiation doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they refer to this initiation as something which is actually a very, very difficult journey for boys to step as men. So they've got 6 steps, as you've mentioned. The New Warrior training itself lasts, so you start on a Friday night and then you end on a Sunday afternoon, and each of those, in those times, you're stepping through different stages of initiation. So when you start the weekend, which is on the Friday night, they'll take away all of your belongings. Like, you can't use your phone, so you're completely cut off from the outside world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called separation. So the first part is separation. Then Saturday morning is this what they call descent, which is basically you're exploring issues in your life where there's conflict. You're revisiting your history, you're going back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's called the descent because you're basically going back and looking into it. And then towards the afternoon of the Saturday, the third stage is called ordeal, because there's a challenge. Now, it isn't a military type of challenge, or, you know, people think, like, I don't know, like, you know, there's new warriors, so you'd be challenging. The challenge is very much more looking at your own issues and looking at what that means for you and how you connect with other men. Towards the night, there is a sense of feeling that masculinity, and then having welcomed into a circle of men. So they call that initiation. That part's like as an initiation.
Mm-hmm.
the next day is then more geared towards relationships, purpose, connections. So it's called integration Sunday morning, mm-hmm. Where you're exploring your relationships, you're exploring connection with nature, with humanity, and then the afternoon is what they call celebration, which is kind of like a wrap up and sense of community. And so it starts off as something which is very hard, you mm-hmm. know. So they won't you won't be getting lovely food and nice treatment. It'll mm-hmm. be very much the warrior archetype at first, and you're treated with that, and you're almost the processes are there to break you down, but to break you down in a safe container, so you can really explore yourself.
Right.
And you can at any point say, pass, this process is too much for me. And it's based out of Gestalt psychology. Mm-hmm. So there's this, I would say one of the biggest things in the weekend is called GUTS. Mm-hmm. And what that basically means is it's a facilitated psychodrama, which enables emotional release or catharsis, where you would enact something which is traumatic for you and you'd have psychodrama. So the founders are very interested with Gestalt, and you can see that in the weekend, what they call the GUTS process. Mm-hmm. Normally, you'll be in a group of about 25 to 40 other men. The staff themselves are larger. They'd be about 35 to 55 men, which are staffing. Some might be staffing first time. Some might be, very experienced. Like I said, they've got a lot of training and experience with that. Mm-hmm. They give you meals, break, and time for sleep. It's but it's very much it's very full on. So I had to tell them that, okay, they don't show you what time it is, so I had to say to them, you need to tell me to wake me up for Fajr.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's true. I need to pray.
And I remember saying, you need to tell me when it's Zohar and during lunchtime if it's still Zohar so I can pray. Mm-hmm. Because you have no sense of the outer world. You're completely detached from it. And that's a good thing, because you can hold space for yourself when you're just looking at yourself and you're looking at your issues. Right. People think about it like New Warrior. They think, are there any assault courses, military style training, like violence? No, there isn't anything like that. And there is no alcohol, caffeine, or kind of anything which is going to be, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it's very much catered to, like I say, to break you down, mm-hmm. But then for you to emerge out of that on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Thank you for explaining all of that. So I know that you've said that there's a confidentiality agreement that you sign. But in case someone is wondering, so you said that there are some activities that are quote unquote designed to kind of break you, but not break you physically, obviously, but in terms of like you dealing with particular traumatic events. So what is one generic example, for example, that you can tell us out of that? So just for people to kind of understand what happens.
So, you would be discussing your fears, so like as a man, so like I mentioned the GUTS, mm-hmm. which is psychodrama, and in that you will be going back and saying, okay, what is something which has been very traumatic for me? And you'd be enacting that out.
Okay.
So that in itself would break you down, because most people would have never done psychodrama before, you know.
Right.
So, and seeing other people's work, because you're also facilitating other people during a group setting, can be triggering. So if you're seeing someone who's had years of trauma and you're looking at how that's affecting them, that's quite difficult as well.
For sure. For sure.
There's certain exercises which you can, they kind of give you a notebook, so you're doing certain exercises and you're remembering what that is, and you're going into your childhood, you're going into your wounds of your childhood, mm-hmm. and you're exploring that. So it's kind of designed, the aura in which they do it is very what they call warrior energy. So mm-hmm. it's not this like, oh, you that lovey-lovey kind of, you know. For example, a lot of things are done in silence.
Mm-hmm.
So silence has this energy of being uncomfortable, for example, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely things which are like that, which, you know, it isn't. From your first experience of meeting, and when they take your stuff, mm-hmm. you're sensing, okay, this is warrior type of energy. This isn't, you know, we can go into that, the archetypes, and this isn't lover energy. This is much more warrior energy, which you're right. experiencing.
And as I was going through the website, one thing that kind of I was really pleased with, and now that you're describing it in detail, is this idea that you're all men. And as you said, you know, people come from different orientations. Mm. So it's not just men who experience SSA. It can be like, quote unquote, straight men. Mm. And all of these men are coming together to support one another, to embrace one another, even in their most vulnerable moments when they're re-experiencing, for example, previous traumas, or talking about deep wounds or shame that they have. Instead of, you know, seeing others, other men in their vicinity making fun of them or shaming them. No, this is kind of a positive environment where people feel embraced, especially from other men. And I think that many of us didn't have that chance before. And I find that very beautiful. So how was your experience with that when it comes to like being embraced by others and kind of sharing things that you haven't shared before? How was that experience for you?
Yeah, no, I completely resonate with what you've said. And my going to New Warrior was exactly for this purpose, because mm-hmm. I felt, you know, I at that point in my life, I was already in a community with people with SSA. So, mm-hmm. you know, I had told people, I was in this circle of support where people who had SSA knew I had SSA as well. So I had a kind of a support network.
Right.
And in my head, I always used to think, well, what about other men? Would they accept me?
Mm.
If I told them I have SSA, would they, you know, how would that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I chose to go on the weekend, because I thought I need to get off my chest. And I also need the affirmation, I need the sense of belonging, I need the sense that I'm a man among men,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
I fit in, I'm the same. And that's when it was powerful, because in my own, you know, like we're discussing guts work, in my own guts work, I got to, my guts work was exactly on this point, that on one side, it's my desires, which are pushing me one side, and the other side is my faith, which is saying, no, this SSA isn't something. At that time, I was very scared, because I was thinking, you know, is there going to be a gay affirmative person here? Are they going to say, what is he doing? And they weren't. In fact, they blessed me. They blessed my journey and what I was doing.
That's great.
So I found them, you know, incredibly supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge for me. And when I did my work and a lot of the participants came up to me and they said, that was really brave of you for what you've done, because I, you know, they imagined that it wasn't easy to share. Mm-hmm. When I went, I was perhaps the only Muslim there. Mm-hmm. And I was perhaps one of the most youngest people, because mm-hmm. I did that in 2016. So that was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But even, you know, even with the difference in ethnicity, the religion, the age, I still felt that I wasn't different, and everybody had their own stuff, mm-hmm. which they came with, and it was okay. And it was an environment where, you know, there wasn't any judgment.
So now that you've touched upon your experience with Mankind Project, can you tell us, how did that particular event benefit you personally? What are some things that you have taken home with you, that you have expanded upon, that you feel that that event has really been worth it? What can you share with us?
I guess the biggest realization was when I told, you know, a group of straight guys that I have SSA, and the world didn't fall down, you know,
right?
Because I had so much anxiety, because I thought I'm in a safe circle with people who know I have SSA because they have SSA themselves. But if I tell someone else, how are they going to treat me? And are they going to, and when it wasn't, and people said I was brave in saying that, and in saying that my, it was something which wasn't me, it wasn't my faith.
Right.
Then I finally got that actually I can be understood. And for me, it wasn't the weekend. It was the I groups, which were afterwards, mm-hmm. Which actually I in this year I went back, and I was, I rejoined the group in Manchester. Mm-hmm. And that's powerful, because that's a weekly check-in. With these men, and it was just the feeling that I'm not different, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest thing, and that's why I went there in the first place, because I was like, well, I could go for a SSA friendly, you know, environment, but no, I really need to challenge myself. And I think if people are considering it, then it's that level of maturity, I guess, which is needed for that. Because at that point of the journey, I wanted to say, okay, Ali, what's the next step for me in my growth? And that was the next step, that I could stand in a group of men which had nothing, didn't know anything about SSA, and say, this is what I have. And not only do I have it, I guess the thing which is probably harder to say now is I don't agree with it, and it doesn't align with my faith values. I guess that's harder,
right? Yeah,
than the previous one, and they were still affirming, and I, you know, I didn't experience shame in that weekend, which is quite powerful.
I'm very happy to hear that. So you told us earlier that you went to Journey into Manhood. I'm assuming that happened before you went to the Mankind Project, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So Journey into Manhood, they're very similar. So, you know, I've spoken to Rich Wilder, and Rich Wilder's program was based on Mankind, mm-hmm. Warrior Training, but it's adapted. With more lover energy than warrior energy.
Right.
And it's adapted to be for people with SSA. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of similarities between the two weekends.
So this is what I actually wanted to ask you, and then you answered it, which is, what are the similarities and the differences? So in terms of differences, obviously, Journey into Manhood is catered to men who experience same-sex attractions, whereas Mankind Project is more general to any man. And the similarities are basically the kinds of activities. A lot of them are similar in terms of psychodrama and bonding, and all of that, correct?
Yes, yeah. So in terms of the differences, And this is a very big difference. And this is one which I really struggled over. And that's one of the, I don't know whether I would call it a disadvantage. It probably is a disadvantage because it wouldn't be something, if I were to hold a weekend, it would probably wouldn't be something that I would do. But I can understand why they're doing it. So then there is perhaps the most controversial part of New Warrior training is there is nudity in it, right?
Okay.
So participants are their stages where there is nudity. Now, when I did it, they told that you reach a point as much as you're comfortable with. So when I did it, I had my boxers on, right? Okay. Because I was like, we've got our aura, we've got our, you know, Islamic obligation. Mm-hmm. And that was because I didn't, when I started and I was like, okay, how many presses is it and how much is that? I was very unsure about that. The good thing, I guess, the experience was during the weekend, I was never triggered. So I wasn't, you'd think that with SSA, you'd go in, you'd be triggered, but it was no. It was more that it was designed to strip, you know, so like I said, they break you down. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the ways they kind of mentally break you down, mm-hmm. By being that vulnerable. Now, again, I had all of this with the Islamic teaching and I had this confusion because for me it was, and I had asked scholars at that point and they said, you know, some of them say outright no. Some of them say, okay, if it's done for a medical purpose or a therapeutic purpose, then perhaps, you know, and I struggled with it and I was like, but the I guess that's the biggest difference. And that's the biggest difference which makes me lean more onto the gym format mm-hmm. than the MKP format for that reason. Mm-hmm. It could be that someone who is mature enough can go through it and isn't triggered or doesn't have a negative experience because of that and actually takes a positive message of their body because it's to do with body shame, mm-hmm. you know. So there's a part which is they're focusing on body shame.
So basically, just to kind of clarify it for people who are listening to us, obviously they're not asking people to get naked just for the sake of that or for people to engage in any inappropriate behavior. The idea in their perspective is to kind of remove that aspect of being ashamed of one's body and to feel comfortable in one's own body and one's own skin and not to feel inferior with respect to another man, correct?
That's right. It's all about body shame. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the huge things in my journey was being ashamed of my body.
Right.
And, you know, for me, being in my boxers was effectively being naked. Mm-hmm. And it was letting go of that vulnerability because I would always cover myself. You know, wherever I'd go, I'd cover myself because I just didn't like my body, had so much. So the nudity is there partly to make you very, very vulnerable, you know. So you're kind right. of in that. It's certainly not. There's a segment where you talk about what, you know, phallic symbol, what the penis means to you. So they discuss mm-hmm. that. But for me, you know, if someone was hearing that, they'd be like, oh my God, this is crazy. But when I did it, it didn't have, I wasn't triggered.
Right.
So even though people were sharing very intimate stuff of them, they were discussing their pain, their trauma, and their disconnectedness with partners or their sex. And it actually made me think, oh my God, so, you know, I have all this SSA business going on. And these people, they don't have SSA, but they've got other issues going on around sex and sexuality. So for me, it was like, it was eye-opening for me to see that just having issues with intimacy and vulnerability isn't a SSA thing, it's a male thing. you know. So when we think, oh, we can't have sexual intimacy because we have SSA, well, other men have other problems around sex and, you know, intimacy. So the nudity is there, not as you know, it's not designed to be something which is like from a lust perspective. It's designed for you to accept your body and accept it. And I know I was conflicted at the start for me because it was something which is a conflict. Because when I heard it, I was like, oh my God, is this right? Is this, you know, what if people find out? And you know how the community is like, oh my God, you've done that. Astaghfirullah, you know. And that's why I, in terms of the recommendation, what I do is I say, okay, this is what's in there. And so you're going and you know that's coming with it. And if it's something which isn't aligned with your faith and values, then don't do it. You know, that's what I would tell people. But if you're going to explore yourself and you're trying to reach kind of a level, or you're basically at that moment of time, I remember when I took it, I just needed, in my recovery, it just felt like I was flatlined and I wasn't moving. So I said, I need to do something which challenged me. And MKP really challenged me for that. The thing which I, like I said, I like most about them is the sense of acceptedness, not just in the weekend, but even in the I groups, the weekly I groups, which I share. And they know what I'm doing. They know the work which I'm involved with, and they're still supportive.
That's great. And if there is any aspect of the program that you feel that you don't want to do, you can clearly tell people that this conflicts with my values and I'm going to skip that particular aspect.
Yeah. I was the only person who said, no, I'm not going to take my boxers off. Okay. I was the only person. And that was difficult, but they allowed that because I was like, well, that's a boundary for me.
Right. Or even, you know, because such activities also involve looking at others. So a lot of us, you know, consider this haram from an Islamic perspective. So it would be okay to pass on these particular activities, right?
Yeah, you can pass any activity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel that a lot of us would benefit from going to Mankind Project, but in that particular, you know, in that particular, I don't know, hour or, you know, the event where this particular nudity is involved, we would pass on that, but not miss the other aspects like psychodrama and bonding that would really be helpful. So I just wanted to clarify it for anyone listening right now that is the case.
Yeah, yes, you can pass on any of the processes.
And at this point, obviously, in the podcast, it's worth mentioning that we're not condoning these practices. We're not saying that we approve of them as Muslims. Obviously, we as Muslims have rules and regulations, especially when it comes to awra and what we are allowed to look at, what we're not allowed to look at. So this is one thing to take into account if anyone wants to join the Mankind Project who's coming from an Islamic background. And this has to be laid out there for people to know, because a lot of people don't know this. I certainly didn't know this before talking to Ali. So this is very important for us to know. And it's important to know that such weekends do bring a lot of benefits, as we have seen. But, you know, there are certain things that we have to pass on, having this Islamic background and having all of these values. And obviously, we can pass on these things and participate in the other things that are permissible, inshallah. And if anyone wants to participate in the Mankind Project, where they feel that they're not ready for such an event, where they feel that they might be triggered, even if they pass on these things, then this needs to be taken into account. And feel free not to force yourself to be part of that if you're not ready for it. So this is just an FYI at this point for all of us to know, inshallah, and consider. So as you've been talking about the different archetypes, a lot of us don't know what these are. And the weekend itself is based on these archetypes that originally came from Carl Jung. So can you explain to us more about these for anyone who doesn't know about them?
So, you know, Carl Jung has this idea of archetypes. So you have the self persona, the shadow, the anima, animus, which is the male and the female types. And then they have a concept of what's the collective unconscious. So Carl Jung says that we're all linked collectively with this unconscious. These archetypes are behaviors of thoughts or their energies which people have. Now, Robert Moore, which is a psychologist, he took Jung's archetypes and then he put it in a framework that could describe the development of masculinity. So then what Robert Moore believed was we've got these archetypes, which is king, warrior, magician, lover. And this is what the training is based on. It's very much based on these archetypes and these, this idea, which is also what A Journey into Manhood is also, it touches on these.
Right.
Now, the disadvantage, I guess, for both weekends is in attempting to understand masculinity, we have taken from a very secular perspective, So for us to, Robert Moore argues in order for a man to achieve mature masculine strength and energy, he must be in touch with all four. But that's a very, it's a different way of looking at masculinity. It's different from, say, what Islam would consider. Or even if we put the concept of masculinity in Islam, we can still say, okay, we can be the king, we can be the warrior, but we can also exhibit both. And I guess that's what it's trying to do. Because you have to recognize, like I said at the first, it's not catered for Muslims, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's catered for anyone and everyone. So you would have to have a frame of reference, which would be... which would then make sense because, you have to do something. You can't just be, you have to have some theology or some basis of
correct.
It. But a lot of it also is based on North American North American. So for example, they will say a ho means yes, we agree, they'll have, a staff, which is like a wooden stick. Again, that's very from North America kind of, history. Mm-hmm. They also have, at one point, they do what's called a sweat lodge. So again, that's like a Native American purification ritual.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these Native American... undertones. They use animal names, for example. So you're given an animal name when you're speaking. So that's why, when I was at the weekend, it was like, some of it, this is, a bit strange
right.
as a Muslim experiencing that. But I could see that they had done it because it was meant for anyone and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, a part of me thought, oh God, if we made it into, slightly more Islamic, or perhaps when Rich Wilder did it, he thought, okay, let's change this and make it a bit more SSA friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely types of that, which I, at least for me, conflicted with, kind of my worldview and my beliefs. But at the same time, I could understand why they had... it was a part of the weekend.
Yeah, and you told me something very interesting when we were kind of talking about the Mankind Project. You said that for us, the Prophet is the the perfect example of a complete man in terms of his everything, but also in terms of his masculine identity. So, can you elaborate more on this, taking into account the archetypes that you told us about?
Yeah, I mean, so like we spoke about the archetypes from Robert Moore. King, mm-hmm. Warrior, magician, and lover. and they used it as a compass to see masculinity. But looking at the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, we see that, you know, at battlefields, he would be the warrior. He would, you know, people would be afraid. But when someone's throwing rubbish at him every day, he doesn't respond because he has that humility. And he goes to check on them, say, oh, the rubbish isn't thrown today. Why not? And he visits that lady. So you have this antithesis of, you wouldn't expect that from a warrior who would be at the battlefield, you know, this masculine energy to be so, or to be crying for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, when, or to be praying long areas of night, crying for forgiveness. These are quite, antithetical qualities, yet we find these in the Prophet. I guess they could say, okay, there's the lover and the warrior energies, but what they can give a frame around it. But the Islamic understanding is so much better. You know, kind of it does complement, but I think that we have in the Quran, we've got a better understanding. So one of the things, for example, they teach is the anima and the animus. So the anima is the male kind of energy, and then the female. And they say, okay, this is within us. So within masculinity, we have femininity. Well, we have to just look at the Quran when, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have created you of one living entity, you know. In Surah Al-A'raf, he says, huwa allazi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. You know, it is he who is created out of one living entity. So we have already this concept of masculinity and femininity being encapsulated in one in the Quran. So again, the Quran further in terms of roles, it will talk about masculine roles. I mean, there's a verse in the Quran which is Surah An-Nisa where it says men will take care of women. You know, they said, okay, so men have this role. And I think it's important to recognize that in terms of in Islam, the man has a role to provide for his wife, because that's what the verse says. It says they are responsible to spend out of their min amwalihim, from their possessions, for the women. So men are basically protectors of women. They've been given that authority by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we look at that model of gender roles, and then the female has their own gender role, which is different from what the man has, and it's recognizing that they're equal, but they're different in terms of their role. But there is still commonalities. For example, you know, the very famous verse, "Ayyuhan Nas, Inna Khalaqnakum min Zakari wa Unsa." We have created you from the male, the zakar and wa ansa. So you have a bit of both in you. And then we've created you in tribes that you may get to lita'araf, or get to know each other. What does that mean? What does it mean, get to know each other? It means we're different, you know, essentially different. We're made of some of the masculine archetypes, some of the female archetypes. And we have that in us. So Allah is already putting that, this is something that we know. But of course, it takes time, I guess, and we probably haven't, we don't have the psychology of masculinity explored to the extent that possibly we could do, and what the Quran does refer to, the state of it. And that's what I feel like sometimes I, you know, with these archetypes, and so that actually the Islamic perspective is already there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you all of these things, but right. we haven't really dug them out. And yeah, I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ أَجْلٍ, you know, man is a creature of haste. So we always go for something. Oh, this is this. Everyone's doing the archetypes, or everyone's looking at that. So we'll go towards that. But actually, the prophets and the, you know, the sunnah of the prophets is what masculinity is. That's where we derive our framework. We derive our reference.
Correct.
We derive everything from that to say, okay, if I'm looking at masculinity, the Arabs wouldn't kiss their children. They thought it was disgusting, you know, and the Prophet initiated that. They were like, how can you do that? They used to bury their daughters alive, and the Prophet gave so much importance to Sayyida Fatima. You know, he would get up when she would arrive. You know, so again, these norms, Islam came and it changed these kind of norms of what masculinity and femininity were. And I feel that, you know, that vision of masculinity, or the roles of masculine, female, and how they're equal, but they're different in terms of the roles which are given to them. That's something which isn't really understood nowadays.
Correct. And actually, as you were talking, I mean, we talk now about toxic masculinity, and obviously it has social and political repercussions. But back then in Arabia, before the Prophet, you know, was given the message, the men back then, you know, they were the embodiment of toxic masculinity, right? And then the Prophet came, and Islam came, the message came, and you know, he put things in proper perspective. He changed things and he modified things in line with the fitrah, in line with our disposition, in line with what Allah created for us. So the way that you described it is so beautiful, like the way that he treated kids in the most beautiful way, the way that he showed compassion towards others, the elderly, men, women, the different ways of interacting, that the beautiful way, the Islamic message is so beautiful. And when we look at masculinity, unfortunately for a lot of us, because of all of the traumas that we've been through, we associate masculinity with evil and viciousness and hatred and you know, darkness, when masculinity is something that is very beautiful, and so is femininity. When given the proper, you know, divinely ordained ways that they should manifest themselves, that would be the appropriate way. And I think that all of these initiatives are trying to kind of get back in touch with the fitrah that we all have to show us what masculinity is and what femininity is, and to, you know, kind of put things back in balance. And as you were talking about all of these matters, it just shows that we there is a lot of work to be done in our own Muslim communities in general, but also when it comes to all of these initiatives. Because, you know, I've spoken to Rich Weiler. He talked to us about Journey into Manhood. Now we're talking about the Mankind Project, and it just goes to show that, you know, we as Muslims have to have our own versions of these things in ways that are more, as you say, God conscious, right? Or God centric, with our own Islamic views and Islamic identity. So I really hope, inshallah, that one day we will be able to implement these initiatives, taking into account our Islamic values and backgrounds and morality, that would help not just men and women with same-sex attractions, but men in general, Muslim men and women, achieve the identity that they want to achieve, that is God-conscious and God-centric, inshallah. So I really hope that that would be accomplished.
Yes, no, That's what's missing at the moment. And yeah, it is something that we definitely need to have a, like you said, a God-centric approach to it, because there's so much more and it's better that we have. And it's just about realizing that and then putting it into a weekend like Mankind or You Are Your Nobleman.
Can you tell us, you said at the beginning there are the I groups and there are the PIT initiatives and others. Can you just walk us through those very quickly and just tell us about what they involve?
So the PIT is basically an intense training. So it can either be done in an 8 to 10 week format, which is a better one because there's quite a lot of material, or it's like a PIT, what they call the PIT intensive, which is a 2 day. You go somewhere a bit like the weekend. You go there, and it is different from the weekend. I haven't done the PIT, so I don't exactly know. But what I know is that it's facilitated, the one which is done in Zoom, which, you know, kind of people are doing at the moment, is like a 3 hours on your evening. It runs to 8 to 10 weeks, and it's proved to be helpful for a lot of people, so I do recommend that. And it sees, you know, at the moment it's done by Zoom, at least in the UK. So it's something which is quite good. The one which I really recommend, the iGroup, actually the way the iGroup is formatted is very similar to how, you know, how, say, for strong support, I'm doing facilitation. A lot of it is from the MKP, how they're doing it. And I'd really recommend that you have that sense, you know, as they say, obviously, a weekend isn't going to save you. You need that continual support. And that's what the integration group or the I group offers, where, so they still have the archetypes. They go through the archetypes, and each of those have rounds. And actually, the I groups, you can join. So they allow uninitiated men to join the I groups as, you know, just, they have like a guest, they have a cycle which runs for 8 weeks. And like on one of those evenings, it's an open evening. So any man can join the I group and see what it's like. And all of these I groups are completely free. So they run and they're completely volunteer led. So again, it's a very, it's a really, really good resource for men to take.
Okay, perfect. So if anyone's interested in reading more about the Mankind Project and the New Warrior Training and the other services that are offered, how can people, you know, get in touch with the organization and register or find out more details?
So the main website, which is Mankind Project, is the US one. And you can, you know, each of them, you can go and it directs you. The one which I know, Mankind Project United Kingdom and Ireland, which I did. The cost is around £595 or equivalent to that in euros. And anyone can attend. And like I said, it's all volunteer led. So it takes them a lot of time to prepare, do all the logistics, and you can imagine there's like 55 staff over there. So it's a charitable, so they're not really doing it for the money. And yeah, you can register. I think they do two. They do in Ireland, and then they do in Scotland, and this, but they do in other locations as well. I just know these because obviously I'm familiar with the UK section of Mankind Project.
All right. right. So let's talk now about the Nobleman. I know that you said that you know some people who have staffed there or some colleagues who have been there. So what can you tell us about that?
So Nobleman is a weekend which an organization, what they're called, Celebration of Being. And it was something that these two founders, Ryo Markman and Paritosh Peasley, they co-created in 1993. To what it's now today is, I think Ryo went to live in the USA, so they have a USA version of it. And then what we have in the UK is Gina Holland and Debbie Beauchamp. So they're the ones which are in the UK, which offer these. So Nobleman is one of these workshops. So they host other workshops as well. They started their mission focused on women only, but then they introduced men as well. And they've had about 2,000 participants from all age groups, faiths, races. So similar to Mankind Project in that it's open to everyone. I guess for Nobleman especially, the vision is to work on the feminine and the feminine wounds. The vision overall, they say, is they want to create a world where both masculine and feminine stand side by side in their glory and magnificence and co-create in harmony. So you see, whereas the MKP, you know, warrior is very much to do with masculinity, what you, the nobleman's is kind of designed to, for men to connect with the feminine energy. And one of them, I think Debbie is actually, she's accredited counselor. She works with individuals, couples, children, family therapy, and she also specializes in trauma work. I think there's another person who's involved as a counselor as well. So they're the people, which I know, as you say, I know people who have staffed it, highly rank it. And I would say, especially for a lot of us with men with SSA, we have issues around the mother or the feminine or just the feeling that women are out to hurt us or unresolved issues. And what the weekend is for is to actually honor that shadow part of ourselves, which believes that and embrace that fear. And that's what they provide. It happens in Isle of Wight. So you can get a train from Waterloo. It's about 2.5 hours. You start on Thursday afternoon about 5 p.m. and you're done by Sunday 2 p.m. And the cost is slightly higher than New Warriors. I think it's around just under 900, but I think you can, if you book early, you can get it at £850.
So in terms of activities, you know, and when you talked about the New Warrior training, you said that there are activities that go back to traumas and deal with this in a very supportive environment surrounded by men. So how does the Nobleman differ from that? What sorts of activities are done? And, you know, is it like a man who's surrounded by a group of women, or is it men and women together? Just for us to kind of get an idea about what happens.
So it's definitely more of a, you know, feminine energy to it. So it's designed to address wounds, especially. So you're going into your wounds with your feminine. They focus on your relationship with your mother. And from that, then they say, okay, how does that affect your current relationships with the feminine? So, you know, it's designed. So if people are having relationships currently with females, if they're not comfortable with the women in their life, or they have, you know, usually with men with SSA, it's, who do this would have a mother, you know, or smearing mother, or over-involved mother, for example. And it's the processes would be experiencing love. So they would be, I'm guessing they would be holding, they would be kind of support from a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to feel that women energy, which perhaps for people who are going to the weekend is something which is what they've not experienced, or a healthy version of femininity. So what they try to do similarly in New Warrior is you're in a safe container, and you are discussing your unresolved issues, and the women are hearing you. So it's like a, you know, place for them to listen. I guess it's an opportunity for them to be, to go in. There's two levels also of Noble Man. Mm-hmm. So there's two weekends. So there's level one and then there's level two. The level two goes in once you've, so level one is more about, like I said, the mother and the current unsatisfactory patterns you have in life with women. And level two then goes on to the archetypes, as we discussed, other parental figures, so the father. It goes into seeing if you've got any unmet needs and if you're projecting them. So mm-hmm. if you're projecting your anger at your mother, at your wife, you know, and then mm-hmm. realizing that. And yeah, so the second one is, I guess it's a bit more mature group because you've already done, but they're all, again, it's all female staff. It's complete female staff, which is doing that. So that's the major difference. What I've experienced is men with SSA who've had issues with their mother have really, mm-hmm. really benefited from it. And I know Muslims who've gone in and they've benefited from it. So yeah.
That's really great. Actually, remind me of phase four of Richard Cohen's four stages of healing. When he talks about the fourth phase, it's kind of healing the hetero emotional wound. So it deals with a mother for a man experiencing same-sex attractions and the feminine wounds. So that's kind of, you know, an entire initiative that's dedicated to that. So I'm very happy to hear about that. If anyone wants to know more about the Noble Man, you know, the schedule of events, to know more about how to register and all of that, how can they access that?
So the website is celebrationofbeing.co.uk. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, go there and then see when they're holding their Noble Man. Usually occurs in April, May kind of time. I imagine that would be, if you're considering it, be next year, April, May time. And then, yeah, like I said, it's around just under £900 and you've got to give a deposit. And it's on the Isle of Wight. And yeah, so if you go on the website, you can go and register.
Brother Ali, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. I have learned so much today, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the listeners have learned about the Mankind Project, New Warrior Training, and the Noble Man. And many of us are actually excited to check these out. Jazakallah khairan. I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
with this, we have come to the end of today's episode, and this is our last episode in the series on support systems. In the next episode, inshallah, Chris from Melbourne, Australia, who spoke to us about the 12-step programs and sexual recovery programs, is going to be joining me again as a guest speaker, and he is one of the two guest speakers that are scheduled for this season to be sharing with us their stories. Until next episode, stay safe and healthy, and I look forward to talking to you in a couple of days' time. This has been Wahid Jensen in A Way Beyond the Rainbow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.